For the last few months, I've been wrestling quite a lot with what I would want to say in my first service as actually being minister here, rather than just visiting as a preacher. And I kind of, in some ways, would love to like cram an entire philosophy of life and faith and mission and church. I'd like to explore all the possibilities and hopes we might have for the dreams that we might have for what God might want to do with us and through us over the coming months and years. But of course, life and time is a slow-moving thing, and we have time together over the coming weeks and months and years to get to know one another, to pray with one another, to explore together and with others what it might mean to be Histon Methodist Church, what it might mean to be God's people here and now, in this place, in this time. So what I do want to do, quite simply, is to highlight a couple of the themes which have emerged from me from the lectionary readings which we've heard from them, as I've been considering them over the last couple of weeks, and to begin to apply them to our life, our lives as individuals and as a community, as we seek to make sense of life ourselves and life as a community under God. Because I think a great deal of the Christian faith can be found in today's readings. In Psalm 146, which we read from at the beginning of our worship, the psalmist reminds us of a God who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food for the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord watches over the strangers. And James's epistle, which we've heard from too, has that famous reminder, which we already considered with the children too, that it's not simply up to God to achieve that justice and to watch over the strangers, that we are to be part of that work of compassion and justice ourselves. If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what good is that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. This need for direct and deliberate and considered action is balanced by the gospel's reminder today of a supernatural God who through Jesus was able to defeat the dark spiritual forces enveloping the young Syrophoenician girl and to bring about physical healing to the deaf man with the speech impediment in Sidon. The gospels encourage us to believe in a God who can bring physical, emotional and spiritual healing through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And one step further than that, that we might be allowed to pray for that healing today. Now, I'm pretty sure that none of us ever get this balance totally right, and I know that I don't. But I think that these passages, when held together, remind us each of that need to find that precarious balance between faith and works, of that need to trust and call out to God for our needs and for the needs of others, but also to put our shoulder to the plough and to be part of the solution. To be, as Teresa of Avila would have it, Christ's eyes and ears and hands here on earth. They suggest to me, and perhaps to all of us, that this is one of the key challenges of living as a Christian today, trying to get that balance right between faith and our works. We must work to bring about justice and care for those who have none. But we must also not forget to open ourselves up to the possibility of the miraculous, of God's intervention, of the divine at work in our life. For me, what leaked out from these passages in addition to this, and I think in some ways this does relate to something of my ethos and philosophy and my hopes for church and my hopes of what the mission of the church might be about, is the part in James which speaks about who we give honour to and who we give welcome to. As God's people. I'll remind you, he says, "My brothers and sisters, do you with your acts of favouritism really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, 'Have a seat here, please,' while to the one who is poor you say, 'Stand there,' or 'Sit at my feet,' have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to to those who love him. To me, this underlines and highlights the inclusive, all-encompassing approach which Jesus' entire ministry displayed, and which was particularly on display in today's gospel passage and his interactions with the Gentiles. They show Jesus, even Jesus, to be stretched beyond the parameters that were expected of him, stretched beyond his lineage, his faith community, his family, in order to share a healing with those not usually associated with his tradition. To me, the passage in James highlights not just the need of the church to take seriously the concerns and the perspectives of the financially poor, which of course we must, but to take seriously the concerns and perspectives of all those individuals and wider people groups who might not have power or a strong voice or a status within a wider society or even within the church. Sadly, in 2015, even in the UK, that still remains a long list, including women, the elderly, the lesbian, gay, bisexual and transsexual communities, minority ethnic or religious groups, and the concerns and needs of children. This passage challenges us to think about those who we give value to as part of church life. They're not just spiritual ideas, but they're the real hard practical stuff of genuinely welcoming all, of showing no preference, of being an inclusive, open space for those of all backgrounds and all ages. And for me, this is not just about being hospitable and made to feel welcome on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday at the community cafe, although that is a very important and immediately apparent facet of the life and ministry of Histon Methodist Church. And actually, something that I've found talking to everyone I've met in the last few months when I've said, what brought you here, or what attracted you here, or what keeps you here, it's that sense of welcome and fellowship and being truly invited into a community. But for me, it's also about going beyond that sense of fellowship and on into the decisions we make together about how we conduct worship, about how we lead the church forward, about the breadth of theologies and worldviews which we embrace and encourage, the technologies which we embrace, the adaptations we are willing to make to involve and learn from children and from young people, and to what extent we are willing to be shaped and transformed by those with differing beliefs from both within our Histon Methodist family here and also from those who don't have direct involvement with the traditional church. Jesus and James's inclusivity present us with an exciting challenge for the church, something which again I hope that we will be able to pray together about and work through over time. And as we have already discussed, James presents us with perhaps a more urgent, more pressing challenge. The challenge about how we might seriously make personal and communal steps to engage with the current refugee crisis, to clothe the cold, to feed the hungry, to house the homeless, to welcome the stranger. By our actions and by our prayers, may God use us to bless one another and bless the world. Amen.